Hey everyone, and welcome back to the First Act Podcast. This is part 3 of touring as a merch manager and PA with Jessica Sands. Jessica walks us through her unique path traveling the world with artists including Billy Talent, Biba Doobie, and many others. For everyone out there who wants to develop valuable contacts in entertainment, make a comfortable living, and travel the world doing so, this is an episode you won't want to miss.
And now, hosted by Harry G., this is your one-stop shop for hot talk straight from the top. Whether you're trying to build a job in pop, rock, or any other artsy schlock, here's your top dog with info that can't be bought, it's gotta be sought. So sit back, crack a six-pack, because we're about to chit-chat and rip facts. It's the First Act Podcast.
And I don't want to generalize, but just like the genres that I think I'm going to encounter those issues, I just avoid completely. So like touring with like a 21-year-old female artist from New Zealand who like blew up on TikTok, I'm like, it's probably safe.
And it's a fun change, right? Because, you're fun, you're bubbly, and you have a lot of experience. But what's cool is like you said it right at the start of the episode, like you do it a lot for the fans.
Yeah.
In so many different ways you've spoken about that. And yeah, sorry, go on.
Oh no, yeah. And so I would say like with Biba Doobie and with Benny, like I was sort of aware of like their viral TikTok hits, but I didn't know much more about them. Mm-hmm. But those were like two really fun tours because there is something, like I said, I'm a bit of a softie. And so being able to see like tour and everything through like a young artist's eyes, like doing a lot of things for the first time, was really like heartwarming and endearing. And it was a nice change of pace from, you know, because you do something for so long, it's not that you become jaded, but it becomes like less exciting, you know? So like a lot of these older rock bands or punk bands I was with, like it's still really fun and we still have a good time and they're still really great people, but like they're not excited by playing a sold out show because they've done it so many times. And like, you know, these two artists specifically, it's like a lot of them, it was like New York for the first time, LA for the first time, like playing to 2,000 people for, and like being like, oh my God, all these people are here to see me, you know, like, so I found that really endearing. It's chaotic. Like there is a learning curve to touring with bands that haven't toured a ton, but it's a lot of fun. It's not for everyone. Some people just want the, you know, everything's consistent and the same and everyone's been touring forever. But I don't know. I like the chaos. I just let it wash over me. And the enthusiasm is fun. And, you know, to me, it's better than being with a bunch of like old, crusty people that have like seen it all and done it all. You know, like I still am that earnest like kid. And it was funny because the first tour I did with Billy Talent, they would always make like production manager and tour manager would always like make fun of me because I was just like, wow, everything's so great.
You're so great.
They were just like, oh, this will change, like you'll change. And right. Like I feel like I have in a sense, but in another sense, like so the last tour I did, the artist's mom was on the tour with her. And I was like, you get to watch your kid like living out her dreams. I was like tearing up, being like, that's so cool. And she was like, yeah, I have to admit, like, it's pretty great. And so I like find them, like, to me, those moments are like what matters. It's not like being on the biggest tour where everyone's just been touring forever. And it's just like, this robotic, like this is what we do. And like, no shade to any of those people. It's just never like something that I wanted. Like I've worked on big tours before, but, and they've had their own like great elements to them. But to me, like watching the sort of the firsts are, is more, you know, exciting to me. And it's part of why I do it. Like I get a lot of fulfillment, like standing, like I went to overseas with Billy Talent and, you know, they've been around for a while, but they headlined Rock'em Park and Rock'em Ring, which are like 100,000 people, like festivals in Germany, and just like standing on the stage, like seeing all these people like losing their minds. I was like, wow, that's so cool. Like, you know, so I may sound like a nerd and all of my like touring friends will probably make fun of me, but I'm like, it's pretty cool. Like what we, you know, get to do, but then what we get to see other people do. Like, you get to see people like live their dream, and like, what's bad about that? So
nothing bad about that.
Yeah. So I love, and so I've sort of like fallen into this like world of younger artists, but it's been really awesome, and I'm gonna hopefully continue with both of those artists like into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I won't say who I've toured with that I won't tour with again, but it's a pretty small list, honestly. Like, I've been very lucky to work with some really great artists and really great people, and part of that is being selective, you know, as I got further into my career, to sort of say like, am I going to have a good time? You know, because I've taken those gigs that were like bright and shiny, and they ended up being really bad. not like bad, but
just
like,
not what you expect.
I just didn't have a good time. And yeah. You know, it's, the hours are too long. You're away from home. You're not like, maybe you're not eating healthy, or like, you know, I am pretty athletic, so like, I don't, you know, it's an active job, but I'm not, you know, playing games or going to the gym as much as I would at home.
Right.
So there's a lot of like sacrifices. So to me, I'm like, I need to at least not be like miserable every day. Like, obviously you're not going to be like, wow, this is amazing every single day, but just working with good people to me is the most important thing. The genre of music, the type of music, doesn't necessarily matter. Like, obviously it's nice when you like the music, but it's, to me, it's not. And anyone that's toured for any length of time will tell you that. Like, I think we, like, everyone starts out with this idea that they want to work for the bands they like, but a lot of times, even financially, that just doesn't work out. You know, like, the music I listen to generally don't have big crews, or
who
the
do you
people
listen
that.
To?
My favorite band is Thrice.
Okay.
So they, you know, they do well still, but they've had their crew forever. They have the same people that they tour with. So, but yeah, I don't even know what I'd be listening to these days. But I pretty much just listen to like new records from bands I've liked forever. So yeah, like Thrice, Manchester Orchestra. I still like Alexis on Fire. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly am, when I'm at home, like in terms of going to shows, I go to more like comedy shows than music, because I feel like when you're just around live music so much, it's just nice to just sit somewhere and be entertained, but it's like quieter, you know.
A different medium.
I didn't start wearing earplugs till like 5 years in, so my hearing is not that great.
Wear earplugs.
That's my tip.
Yeah, wear earplugs. Definitely. Yeah. I remember once I didn't wear earplugs and I was working a club night at Webster Hall that, you know, like, it was because, you know, a lot of venues, they'll start off as a concert and then they'll reopen it. They'll shut down for like an hour and a half and they'll reopen as a nightclub. So I was the concert kid that was like handling the booking for concert. But then I would hang at the club nights after because I didn't have to work those. So, you know, I'd bring my friends through, or I'd go on the stage and party because it's a whole different vibe.
Yeah.
And I remember once I was standing next to one of the speakers and it was just like, boom, 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 like so loud. And I felt my body just shaking.
Yeah.
And I threw up. So earplugs are definitely a must if you're going to be working a lot of shows. I think I have like one more question to ask, because you've shared so much incredible wisdom and advice, and you know, for me, but also for, obviously, for the people that really matter here, the fans of the podcast. So working with an artist, let's say like Biba Doobie, who I guess amassed a lot of her success through TikTok.
Yeah.
How does it translate, would you say, to like her tour? So like, does she play like festivals mostly? Does she play large venues? Does she play smaller rooms? Like, how does that translate?
Yeah, so the tour I did with her last year, we were about like 700 to 3,000 cap venues, depending on the city. So it did translate pretty well to like live concerts, which I thought, like, to me, I think it's so cool that, you know, some kid can write a song in their bedroom and put it online and get, you know, millions of followers. But then those people also want to come and see her live. Because that's always something that you don't, you're like, oh, if it's a trend, and it's just like, does anyone actually care? And the same thing with Benny. Like, Benny had 2 viral hits on TikTok. She has TikTok, but she doesn't really even use it that much. And that, but then all those people like discovered her music through that and then also wanted to come to the show. And to me, I just think it's so cool because it gives a lot of power back to the artist. Like, say what you will about social media, like, obviously they're tons of toxic elements to it, but I think now, like, back in the day, you needed to have someone most of the time an older man say, like, I'm gonna make you a star, and, you know, you'd have to have somebody else sort of launch your career. Whereas now, like, I mean, we've seen that with Billie Eilish as well. Like, you can just put something online, and of course, those music industry people come around when they see they can make money off you. But I think it does give so much more power to the artist to be like, hey, I have this that I've done myself already. I don't necessarily need you, but, you know, you can help me bring it to the next level. Or if, you know, I need a booking agent, but there's no development that needs to happen.
Right. A&R isn't really a thing anymore, I find.
Not really. I mean, probably it is, like, TikTok, you know?
Right. It's like, I'm sure that record labels, like, I mean, I don't have proof of this, but I'm sure a lot of record labels literally have, like, algorithms that will crawl the web for certain metrics.
Yeah.
And then that'll make, like, a short playlist of the bands for people to check out. And then based on that, I you know, like, artists are expected to do so much of the development on their own nowadays because of how everything shifted in terms of social media. It's wild. We should get somebody in A&R on the podcast to talk about how that's changed.
Yeah. I mean, I think on the one hand, it's really cool. On the other hand, it's also like, it's a big burden on the artist. And it's also like, you know, the machine, and nothing against the music industry, but, like, you know, the machine that is the music industry, like, will come along and say, like, well, you have to do all of this first before we will kind of push it forward. So I think expecting the artist to do all of that is a bit of a, you know, a burden on them. But at the same time, like, they can make their own future, essentially. So I was really kind of surprised at the translation from, you know, TikTok to
live.
A live show.
Mm-hmm.
But, and, like, you know, Benny has been making art. She's been making music and had some success in New Zealand for a while. And then some woman thought her song was catchy and made a dance to it. And then it blew up that way. And then that led other people to her other music. She had another song that went viral on TikTok. And, like, I mean, obviously there are paid things that happen, but that was just completely, like, organic, you know? Like,
right. It's authentic. And, it's real.
Yeah. And to me, that's really cool because, you know, if you think of all the steps you would have had to go through before, like, you know, not even before the internet, but just, like, before TikTok, before you had these sort of, like, ways to deliver music that weren't how it was, like, traditionally. You'd have to, you know, like, spend all this money and do a demo or get someone to pay for it and then get some label to, like, believe in you, and then they would advance you a bunch of money and then maybe you wouldn't make any money back, you know, like. So I think it's really cool. I really enjoy, like, being in that world, and I hope to get more tours to be able to sort of witness that translation. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with COVID, in the sense that, like, people only existed online for, you know, a year, 2 years, and now they can go out into the world and So they want to go to the show and they want to see these people they've been seeing on screens, like in person.
They want to blend.
Yeah.
Sorry to interject. They want a blend of what they had the last 2 years with what they used to have. Right. So it's like it's a combination of like the physical and the virtual kind of meshing together. And I think you're 100% right about that.
Yeah. And like to tie it back to merch, I mean, that's why concert merch does so well, is because, you know, it's an experience, but it's intangible. So people want something physical to take home and you know, it has memories tied to it. And it is like a fashion, like status thing. It's a way of finding other people that, you know, are into what you're into. But yeah, it's because, you know, the odd time, mostly from parents, I'll hear like, oh, this shirt's $35. Like I can get a shirt for $10 at Winners. I don't know. Name some H&M. It's like, well, yeah, you can, but that's not
Forever 21.
And also like, if people knew how many people got their hands into like, it's like, okay, well, yeah, the shirt wouldn't be $35 if the venue wasn't taking 20% of it. So right. Like, you know, there's so many reasons why that shirt costs $35, but like
venues jacking up prices,
right?
The point is, it's
a symbol, you know. I've just got rid of a ton, but I had bags and bags of concert merch. So I'm a fan of merch in general, but I also like, I understand. I mean, and that's not a new concept. Like, it's always like, if you have an experience-based business, create something tangible that people can like touch and feel and take home with them.
Yeah. Or an NFT.
Or an NFT, something, you know, and the same thing with like, you know, sports merchandise. Like I always have this thing where if, you know, there's like a free giveaway, like a promo, I don't even care about the item, but it's like, I have to have it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I take it home and then nothing, I just put it on a shelf or something. But yeah, it's an exciting time for music, I think. And I hope that we continue to have these sort of, you know, stories where, yeah, it's just some normal person in the room, no like connections or money or anything. Like they obviously have the freedom to like, you know, follow their career. So there has to be like a certain level of like support in that sense where they're like, you know, 20 and they're not having to like get a job. They can just do this thing. But
for sure,
in the end, it's pretty, I don't know. I think it's exciting. I think the tech advances are really exciting. I'm excited to see like what's next, basically, because I never would have thought this would have happened, you know. So
yeah, you know, out of all the destruction and chaos comes opportunity.
Exactly.
Well, I want to be cognizant of your time. I do really, really appreciate all of the guidance and wisdom that you've shared through your storytelling. I always love chatting with you. It's always such like a natural conversation. And I think that the audience is going to love this episode, because
I hope so.
I'm
always around. I'm very sort of, I'm open to helping, giving tips, having conversations. Like
how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah. So, Instagram, I'm Jessica Sandstorm. That's probably like the easiest way. It's the one I check most often.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jess Sandstorm on Twitter, though I'm like less active on Twitter. Twitter's like kind of dark, which I appreciate to a certain extent. And I like it for like sports and stuff, but sometimes I'm just like, I can't deal with Twitter anymore. But yeah, Instagram or Twitter, that would probably be the easiest way. If you care about minor independent league baseball, you can listen to my podcast, but that's probably not very relevant to this crowd.
You never know. You never know. even if there's, you know, five people out there from the hundreds of listeners that are checking it out, you know, I'm sure there are baseball fans out there. So I can't thank you enough for sharing, you know, your path in merch. It's often like no one really kind of peeks behind the curtain of this. And so, it's a soft spot for me, right? Like, I think that the best people in the music industry are in the merch.
Because I think there's this idea that anybody can do it, which is like maybe true to a certain extent, but it's not easy.
I mean, anybody can do anything.
It's straightforward, but there's a lot that you have to know, and you have to be good with like numbers and accounting. It can go south very, very quickly.
You need to be good under pressure.
And you're dealing with a lot of money. Like some tours I've been on, you know, an Angel can say the same thing. Like there's millions of dollars that you're ultimately responsible for. Like, so you have to be very organized, like on top of your shit, or it can be very bad. And generally people, the powers that be, don't like it when a bunch of money goes missing. So
yeah, I've seen, you know, Weezer, for instance. I worked a show where there was like 1,000 people at that show, and I think they had sold close to $30,000 in merch at that venue.
Yeah,
maybe more. That could be a little off. And I watched Angel work that show. We worked it together because I did the opening band. I sold like one t-shirt because and a lot of the sales, like, you're right that the bands are coming to you already like cash in hand, ready to, you know, waving it in the air. They're like, all right, I want to, you know, tap my credit card and buy that hoodie.
My favorite ones come with their payment method ready.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like we should do a side episode of like, here's what you need to do at the merch table. Yeah. So we don't hate you.
I love that. Step one.
Yeah. No,
so it's, but at the same time, it's like a lot of it is like your display. And it's not cracking under pressure, and it's, you know, being sarcastic and playful enough that, like, you know, you're still enjoying yourself, but like not being such a dick that like the fans are like, you're ruining my experience. And like, it is a tough job because, like I said, you're the client facing piece of what they're actually there for.
Yeah.
You know, and like, cause they can't talk to the artist on stage. They can't hang with the guitarist or the drummer. They have to, like, you know, sneak into like the weird alleyway that's like behind the venue and try to meet them that way, right? And like,
yeah,
I mean, like, when I was a big Panic at the Disco fan, I used to wait outside the venue, and I mean, I didn't even find them. I did that at Newfound Glory. They did an underplay for 200 people or something in Dublin. I took a trip to Dublin. I was living in England, but I took a trip to Dublin for that concert. And I stood outside in the street for 2 hours, and I didn't know that they had a secret exit from the venue.
Yeah.
You know, so you are the only person that you can really interact with.
Yeah.
Or like,
I get a lot of gifts. I get a lot of letters. I get a lot of like, tell so-and-so this. And I'm always happy to receive those messages and those gifts, and you know, the artists do appreciate it.
Oh, you give them to the artists and everything?
Yeah, and they read, like, actually most of the artists I've toured with, they read everything, they look at everything, they appreciate it. You know, it's just sometimes it's honestly just a matter of saving their voice. Like, they just can't be talking so much outside if they have really like grueling schedule where there's a lot of shows. Like, sometimes it's that simple. Or they're tired, or, you know, there's too many to go out and say hello. So, you know, I definitely like sympathize. Like, I waited outside tour buses when I was younger, and now I'm just like, oh, they probably just really wanted to like go to bed and not have some kid being like, hey, can I have a picture, when they're like digging through their underwear and they're
speaking. And it's not just one kid. It's like a crowd of kids. And yeah.
Exactly.
Just, there's not enough time. It's nothing personal.
So yeah, I like, if I can, and I'm always happy to sit, you know, like after the meet and greet, if there is one, I'm like, oh, how was it? Like, they're so nice, right? And they're just like, oh my God, like, just people are really happy. And it's nice to be like part of that.
Yeah.
By proxy.
Well, you definitely are a big part of it.
Yeah.
I love your energy. Thank you again for the episode.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Remember, new episodes release every Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific. See you there.